the host of Ag Matters, and we'll be sitting down, taking a couple of deep breaths. Good morning, Amy. Welcome, Amy. Welcome to another edition.
So glad you guys could be here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we wanted to make it easy for you. Just come right in, sit down, and you know.
I was listening, and I was thinking, oh, saw her face. They're probably wondering if they're going to see my face.
But here we see your face. There we go. All right. So what do we have today? What do we have this week?
All right. So for this morning's edition of Ag Matters, we have my friend and colleague, Jody Anderson, in the studio with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jody. And Jody wears a lot of different hats in the community. A lot of people know Jody from one thing or another. But today, Jody's our guest because she is now employed at the State Division of Agriculture. And what is your official title, Jody?
I am the coordinator for the farm-to-school program in Alaska.
Farm-to-school program. And I've recently heard it more referenced as farm-to-institution, right?
A larger umbrella, farm-to-institution. So we're not just looking at schools, but we're looking at hospitals and daycares and different things like that.
All the different facilities across the state that are feeding people, right? Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
Yeah. And we want more of that food to be
Alaska grown.
Alaska grown, right? Such a simple concept. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So let's talk about other hats that you wear there. Tell me a little bit more about what all they've got you doing over there.
Trick question. Trick question. Zing. Thanks, Amy, friend.
Let me put it this way. I happen to know that you are passionate about composting and that you know more about soil and dirt than anybody else I know. So do you get to do any of that over there?
I am going to be doing a lot of that, specifically with the hat and under the umbrella of the farm to school. So, for example, next week I'll be heading down to Sterling Elementary School. Their principal and several of their parent volunteers are working on food waste reduction process for the whole school. And they're looking for models in the state. And I said, you guys are it. Let's do it. And so I'm going to head down and I'm going to talk to the students at an assembly about what is compost and why should we do it. Okay. And then it's an early release day for them, which is why next Wednesday works. And then in the afternoon, I'll be working with the faculty and staff with kind of a how-to compost, where should it be done, how expensive is it, the hours, the time, that sort of input. And so hoping to kick off a really solid model of composting in the state at for waste reduction at the school level.
Right.
Also this week, really excited that Anchorage School District, our largest school district in the state, the majority of our students, more than half of our students in the state of Alaska, are in the Anchorage School District.
Right.
They have a new executive director of their school nutrition services.
Okay.
And he is very excited about turning that facility into a gardening and composting model for the rest of
my eyes are getting big.
I know.
Awesome.
How cool is that? Some really good things are happening, and we're moving forward on very quickly so that someone doesn't tell us no too soon.
So here we are putting it out there in the public. Okay. So I want to jump back to Sterling really quick, mm-hmm. and then we'll come back to Anchorage.
Sure.
So food waste. Mm-hmm. Last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, I had Liz on with the Food Policy Council, and we were talking about the food system, and we talked a little bit about waste and how that's a huge part of the system. And if you don't address any part of the system, then the whole loop is broken, right?
Right.
And so I'm so excited that you guys are addressing food waste at the school, because that's something that I hear, or when I used to be there at the division, we would hear that when the school lunch program would try new foods or new fresh foods or local foods, it would all end up in the garbage, right? And that was a disappointing result. And so at least with a composting and waste program, you're addressing that factor, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the interesting thing is that a lot of the USDA has been pushing food reduction or food waste reduction for quite some time.
Yep.
And schools are now just starting to get around to it. It's very difficult to do at the school level, but Sterling has already started diversion of food waste. And
okay.
And so I asked the principal yesterday, you know, what volume are we talking about? And she said, we have about a trash can a week of actual organic solid food waste.
Okay.
She said most of it's trash, you know, and I said, well, we can still use napkins in the compost pile, and there's still a lot of probably the waste that you're, that trash part, we can still compost, which is good.
Yeah.
But in terms of food waste,
that's not
one
that
garbage
much.
Can a week. I was like, whoa, that's, now I didn't ask the size of the garbage can.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, I guess it's relative,
dumpster.
Right? It could be, you know, it could be a dumpster or, but I think she'd have called it a dumpster if it was a dumpster.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I think I'm just going to go with a 33-gallon, you know, 33.5-gallon garbage can.
Yep.
And in my head, that's what it is. And wow, that is so doable. I mean, in fact, that's almost too little to worry about compost. Not really, but I mean, in terms of, you know, volume and production wise, that's very doable. So that's exciting. I mean, that's,
and so did they,
huge.
Did they come to you?
They did.
Oh, see, that's incredible too, because oftentimes when we approach a school and say, hey, we want to try this, if someone within the school doesn't have buy-in, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Sometimes there's costs involved, right?
Sure.
So if you need a different trash can, or if you need, if they're talking about incorporating this into a garden program, then you need raised, you know, so there's costs involved, and that can automatically have a principal or someone say, nope, you know, we can't do it. So that's exciting that they're on board. They want to try it. And then if you can model it and show it to other schools.
Right.
That's awesome.
It's very exciting. The principal is pretty much the catalyst of this entire drive.
Perfect.
She did a lot of work in Hawaii.
Okay.
And so she was, I think, surprised when there wasn't something in place when she got to Sterling.
Yeah.
And so she's really driven this. And Heidi Che, actually, she contacted Heidi, and Heidi contacted me and said, hey,
perfect,
help me out. And it was a parent volunteer who called me originally to talk. He was a former employee with Heidi, and so we talked about composting for a while, and then yesterday she called out of the
blue.
So that's the sort of thing. It's exciting because people are always asking for, you know, is there a model for this in Alaska? And you know, the answer is no, but there's a great model in, you know, fill-in state here.
Right.
And people just shut down immediately because, if it's not if there's not an example in Alaska, then it's not going to work up here. So, which is unfortunate.
Right. It's not
because it's not really the case. We can tweak anything.
Sure.
But the idea that they're moving forward, they're going to be our model. They're the ones that I'm going to say, hey, you know, Fairbanks, guess what? This is amazing. Or whoever.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've got just what you need, which is, you know, a champion down there. And then Kenai has incredible movement in the local food arena.
Absolutely.
They've got some great folks down there. And actually, Robbie Mixon, who's on the Southern Peninsula down in Homer, she's going to be our guest. I want to say March 1st, but anyway, she's coming up on the agenda, and we'll talk more about what's going on down there. But I'm thrilled that you've got a great group of people that want to move this forward, and we'll have to have you back on, you know, in the summer sometime to tell us how it's going. And then maybe we'll see this food waste reduction happening, you know, in more schools, which would be incredible.
It would be amazing. And the really nice thing too, that, you know, Sterling and the Central Kenai area, the Central Kenai Garden Club is so huge and well organized and helpful. And their president right now is Liz Dowler, and she lives on the river. So basically downhill, if you will, from Sterling Elementary.
Oh, okay.
And I was talking to her just on Sunday, and she's already volunteered to help out at Sterling.
Oh, perfect.
So you're right. It's a super supportive. I mean, I couldn't have written a better dream plan,
idea.
Right?
If I could just get these people to participate.
Oh,
it
wait,
would be
it's happening.
Oh,
and it's all happening without me. That's amazing.
Thank you. I just have to come in and talk about compost and soil and do the easy parts. Well, that's awesome. I'm really thrilled to hear that that's happening.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, there's probably going to be mistakes. There's going to be roadblocks.
Absolutely.
There's going to be bumps along the way as they're, you know, kind of setting the stage for this.
Sure.
But that's how we learn, right? And
absolutely.
That's how when the next school comes along, you go, well, we learned not to do this.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Don't put whole fish carcasses or whatever it is.
Well, actually, you
know?
You can, but okay, go ahead.
Sorry, wrong mistake. Don't put plastic forks.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, and expect them to dissolve. Yes,
there you go.
Exactly.
Okay.
You don't want, it's not going to compost well.
Right. Okay. I have to admit, I don't know, Mike, and maybe you're you're comfortable asking this question. I'm not a composter.
That's
Are you
okay.
a composter?
Yes.
Oh, are you a?
But go ask the question.
Oh, well, that was my question. If you were a composter.
Oh, that's a question.
It's very simple. Sorry.
I said yes, but when you speak about me, you're including my wife.
Oh, so yes.
The two
you
of us
from
are
that.
The two of us.
Yes.
The two of us partner on this effort.
Well, you have chickens too, right? So that
yes,
always encourages
chickens.
People to keep their tables.
Oh,
wraps
yes, and... because every so often the chicken coop is cleaned out. That is my responsibility.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I have a very, very important role in the compost.
Yeah.
We have. We actually have two large compost piles in the back that are set up, and we rotate through them.
Yeah.
So my question, though, to Jody has to do with winter. You know, we the chickens are alive through the winter, and I clean out their coop, and we have compost coming out of our kitchen.
Sure.
And then we typically store it. We know that recently temperatures have been low. So you put stuff out, but my guess is not much happens until spring comes. What's the best way to deal with that?
Well, the reality is, as long as your feedstocks don't freeze, you can compost all winter long.
Okay.
And with the right critical mass, with a large enough pile, it will stay unfrozen in
oh, really?
The center all winter.
Wow.
So it's interesting, the bugs, the bacteria and fungi that we're talking about that are doing the work in the pile,
mm-hmm.
The old-fashioned soil scientists and ecologists said, well, you know, decomposition slows way down and doesn't even happen when it freezes, when it's cold, in the permafrost, in the Arctic. But it's just very, very slow. But things are still happening. So the nice idea about composting is that even if it's incredibly forgiving, it's so forgiving, you can't kill a pile.
Okay.
Which is probably why
Challenge
I really love
accepted.
It. Right? I mean, if you set it on fire, there's probably that. But right. aside from fire,
okay.
So if it freezes in the wintertime, if you end up with a frozen pile,
mm-hmm.
Once it thaws, just turn it, add a little bit more nitrogen to it. You could add coffee grounds, which are readily available, and
sure.
And it's very nice because they offer just the right amount of nitrogen to kind of kickstart your pile again.
Okay.
And the bugs that were in there doing the work are still in there. They just chilled out literally over the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And once you give them a food source and once they have what they need,
They wake back up
and do their job. So
awesome.
You can actually just wake your pile back up again in the springtime.
Okay.
But if you wanted to compost throughout the winter, my recommendation would be to collect your feedstocks and keep them warm enough to not freeze. And then build your pile. And you can build it outside. But try to get a really nice, a fairly large pile, at least a cubic yard.
Okay.
So maybe think about a pallet by a pallet by a pallet.
And that's what we have used.
Perfect.
Of course, you mentioned pallets. Pallets are a favorite sidewall,
sure.
right?
Yep, yeah. It's a great sidewall. Some people are, it's a personal choice thing because
mm-hmm.
some people are very worried about what used to be on the pallet, what leaked on the pallet, what's, you know,
sure.
that sort of thing. And so I know I have friends in Dillingham who've built an amazing compost pile with bread trays that are
okay.
plastic. That they found in Dillingham, and they're almost they're a similar size. They're a little more narrow
mm-hmm.
and a little taller,
right?
But it's a really cool way, and you just zip tie them.
Oh yeah,
and then you end up with your walls, if you will, but they're breathable.
Yeah,
it's like a pallet, and they're fantastic to use. So
okay, great compost advice, right?
This
is the compost guru
yeah.
right here.
Well, it's a time to consider too. Sometimes we, you know, setting up a compost pile, we fall into a particular pattern, and every so often I appreciate reviewing and saying,
sure.
okay, is there, can we do this a little bit better,
yeah.
or how do we make this happen? Is it
sure.
time to rebuild the compost piles in the process too?
Yeah.
You know, the way
yeah.
we set them up.
I will say this, in my travels around the state, I don't I don't know anybody that knows more about composting than Jody. And now she's getting paid to tell people about it. So
yay!
If you have a compost question in the future, look Jody up at the Division of Agriculture, and I bet she could help you.
Absolutely. I'd love to help any way that I can.
So could I ask another?
One more. Yep, you get one more question. Yeah.
One, just a short. Yes,
you were late. Come on.
I said 7:30, and I was in my seat at 7:30.
Right, so back in the day, I remember we once upon a time had an indoor compost device. Mm. It was a container that...
Yeah, one of those rolling bucket things.
Yeah. Et cetera. We used it for a while, and then it developed problems.
It stunk.
Yeah. Well, no, it not so much that as that mechanically or the design, it just didn't do what it was supposed to do, and it was automated in part, et cetera.
Oh, okay.
Are you aware of, because it was so nice, you could have it in the garage.
It was easy.
It was warm.
Yeah.
Put stuff in there and da 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 da, and then whoop, and
magic.
It would work. Magic.
No.
She uses those words in her compost presentation.
So, have you been following the development or improvement or whatever of those kinds of devices that, use a bit of technology to make it in particular appear easier to do?
There is a product that I have been eyeballing a little bit, and it is from Europe, and I can't remember where, but if I had to guess, probably in one of those fantastic Scandinavian countries in the north. It is a composting device that is inset into your cabinetry and into your flat space, your workspace. And there's a little door, and you put your scraps into it. And then when it's full of scrap, there's a magic, it looks like a giant tea bag. And I think, actually, Heidi Chase sent me a link to it. And was like, what do you think's in the bag? Because basically you put this tea bag thing into your mixer. And then you close the door and push a button, and it composts. And within, you know, a certain period of time, a very short couple days, you end up with this amazing soil-like material.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, whoa, what? And, you know, so the question is, what the heck is in that bag, right? Because I don't know anything that would make it go as fast as
that
it claims to go.
Oh, okay.
I'm interested in it. I would love to see, you know, more about it. But, you know, of course, the tea bag is proprietary.
And yeah.
So I doubt we'll ever know what's in it. But that's an interesting concept. Most home...
vessels and
devices that you end up with, especially the spinning ones outside, like the barrel units, most people forget to put carbon in it.
Wow.
And so what you end up with is this overabundance of nitrogen and not enough carbon. And see, the bugs are actually eating the carbon. They use the nitrogen. They're consuming it, but they're using the nitrogen for their body parts, if you will, for their cellular function. The carbon is their food. And so if you don't give them the carbon along with the nitrogen, they're not going to eat what they need to. And so it'll just sit and funk.
Ugh.
Really nasty. So a lot of people are very turned off by composting because of smell. And, you know, the answer to that is you can compost, and you should be able to compost very successfully with no smell. So
if you have a smelly compost, it's because you're not putting in enough carbon.
Or if it's too wet.
Or if it's too wet.
Which means you add more carbon. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, with three parts carbon and one part nitrogen in Alaska, what I've seen, most people end up, carbon's the limiting factor, which is a shame because we have cardboard everywhere.
But. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Composting 101 brought to you by Jody Anderson. I love it. You've almost convinced me that I should compost, but it just sounds like a lot of work and I'm lazy.
Can we ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you compost?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm resisting the compost trend, but who knows? Maybe I'll convert at some point. But
well, you have some really nice nitrogen sources around your house, and probably closer to your house.
Right
than
on
you
my
would
front
like.
Porch. There's another bison reference for you, Todd.
Yes.
If you're listening.
Thanks, Todd.
I've been harassing
the gate
Todd
is
about
working
the bison.
Well.
Okay, moving on. I want to jump back to the Anchorage School District real quick, because if you look at the clock, this
time
is just racing by.
Totally.
And although we could probably talk about composting for another 10 minutes, I want to get a couple other topics in. So
sure.
You mentioned Anchorage School District, our largest school district in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Unfair question. Do you remember how many meals they serve a day?
It's not an unfair question. I just don't know.
Okay, yeah. It's
that.
tens of thousands,
yeah,
right?
I think 88, 84 schools, something like that. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Tons.
A lot of lunches and breakfasts and probably after school program food.
Right.
Yeah. So we have... and I always say this collective we, like I'm still at the Division of Agriculture. And
oh,
I know I'm not.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when I was there, we were really, I mean, it's like if you can get ASD, the Anchorage School District, on board with whatever you're trying, then all the other school districts want to try it too because they're kind of the leader. You know, they're their largest school district. So the fact that their new executive director is excited and wanting to try new things and looking for local food. And I mean, that's just really, really exciting.
It's not only exciting, it's kind of bringing to fruition things that were started back in.
Right.
In
years ago.
Years ago.
Yeah.
He is also, not only do they want to be a demonstration garden model and a composting model for the district and for other schools.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also we're starting to talk a little bit about the use of the central kitchen.
Yay!
Yay.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to force you to bring it up, but I'm so glad you did.
Yes, it's so exciting.
Such a huge opportunity.
It's the largest kitchen in the state of Alaska.
Right. And so here's the concept for people that haven't. What do you mean use of the central kitchen?
Who
cares? But here's the thing: in the summertime, that kitchen's not being used.
It sits. Empty.
Right?
Yeah.
It sits vacant. But all of the latest and greatest technology and just bowls and scoops and ovens and all of the things that you need to produce food in large quantities is available there. Well, guess what else happens in the summer?
We grow vegetables.
We grow vegetables. All of the food production happens in the summer. And so there's always been this thought that, you know, farmers wouldn't have to throw out, you know, acres of broccoli or, you know, they would have a source an end use of all this product if they could just process it in a commercial kitchen that's licensed and certified and all those things, and then they could freeze it, and then we would have it available later. But the missing link has kind of been that facility, right? And there's been talk before about a processing facility needs to be built and this and that, but those of us in this farm-to-school Alaska Grown arena are always going, what about the school kitchens? Why can't we use a school kitchen? And so the fact that ASD is even considering that is huge.
It's enormous.
Yeah.
And the really exciting thing is that the executive director is new enough and I'm new enough that we're both just
willing to
put our heads down and try and not listen to what, like, all the reasons why it hasn't worked in the past.
Right.
We don't really care at this point.
I love that.
So yeah, it's very exciting. Meetings are ongoing with them and, yeah, we're moving forward with those phases. This is happening very quickly, but I think it's still a long way off.
Sure, yeah.
But even to have them on board is really, really exciting. And
maybe now they can fall back on some of the projects that Johanna did when she first came to Farm to School. Like, we demonstrated that using local cabbage and shredding Alaska-grown cabbage in the school kitchen was cheaper than
buying
bagged cabbage from the Lower 48. We did a study and we proved it, that even though they think Alaska-grown cabbage is more expensive, it reduces waste, it reduces, I can't remember the other factors to it, but we proved that it's cheaper.
Sure.
So they
Absolutely.
Could, you know, maybe even if they're just doing that, maybe if they're just processing a bunch of cabbage this fall or before school starts, or what's our number one crop in Alaska?
You
know, potatoes.
Yeah. And
there's
that's
so
really,
much.
That was the main piece of our discussion.
Yeah. And we did a project with Alaska Chip Company where he tried to make different potato wedges with flavor, without flavor, pre-boiled, baked, et cetera, to see what would it take for the schools to start using a local potato instead of an outside potato.
Right.
So maybe they can fall back on some of those projects.
I have passed those projects. Descriptions and papers and reports onto the school district, and so they're aware, and he's passing it around as we speak as well.
Good.
So it's really, really exciting what's happening right now. And, you know, with the state in its financial situation as it is, and all the rest of us are in the same boat. I mean, no one's standing out there with tons of money saying, who wants money? Because no one has that.
Right.
So I see that what my role is that I walk around and I'm stepping over extension cords of agriculture all over the place. And these extension cords are already plugged into some wall one place. And when I figure out what the extension cord is, then I see what my job is to plug it in where it needs to be plugged in.
There you go.
And then to let others know, hey, be careful, I just plugged in this extension cord. And so other people will see it. And then that's what I see my role as being. You know, the goal for Farm to School is not to start new projects. It's
right.
not to reinvent wheels and trash all the old stuff. And it's certainly not starting anything from scratch.
Right.
It's really about partnerships.
Yep.
It's about developing resources that, or at least, you know, just being that clearinghouse for resources so
right.
that when people call and say, hey, is there a model for X, Y, or Z?
Right.
I can say, well, I don't really know specifically, but why don't you talk to these people?
Right.
And that's the sort of job that I'm taking on and that I feel is my role to make the best use of
yeah.
money and also to help around the state as much as I possibly can.
I love it. That's a great analogy. And it's true. Someone, you know, I posted about this, you being my guest, and someone commented, but I thought the Division of Agriculture's budget didn't include any money for Farm to School. And it's like, well, it doesn't. But
right.
this is what, you know, the point that you just made is that that doesn't mean we don't have someone that's still looking and there to answer questions. Like you said, you're not starting new programs. You're not offering new grant money. We're not, you know, it's not like that at that level, but we're still maintaining that farm to school is important and farm to institution is really important.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of state facilities that could be utilizing more local food and we hope that they will, right?
Right.
And if they have questions about where to get that food or where to find things, you're the resource, right?
Right.
So
right.
That's great.
Well, you know, and keeping in mind that whole partnership concept, the funding for my position is actually coming from Child Nutrition Services.
Okay.
Through the Department of Education in Juneau. So that I am not funded directly from the Division of Ag.
Right.
And so you know, playing on that concept of partnerships is most
important.
Looks like
we're getting a call, Jody. How exciting with 3 minutes left on the
clock.
There
we go. Go ahead. Who do we have you on the phone?
Hi, Jody. Hi, Amy.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
We can hear you. Thank you.
I recognize that voice.
Hey, hey, Jody. I was listening to the show, and hey, great job.
Thank you, sir.
Sounds like you guys are having too much fun. one of the things... I missed a couple of minutes of the show, but one of the things I'm kind of curious, have you touched on where the funding's coming for the projects you're working on?
She was just jumping into that when we were interrupted by a phone call, but go ahead, Jody.
I'm so sorry.
thanks for the question, Director.
Thank you, boss. Amy and I were just talking about our partnerships and how important partnerships are in this position, and that I do not have direct funding from the Division of Ag, but I am funded through Child Nutrition Services with the Department of Education. And it's their future vision that they see how important this partnership is and that they support it by funding this position.
Yeah.
So
and that's huge.
It's it's unprecedented in the United States. I mean, most farm to school positions are directly funded through grants and through divisions of agriculture or the universities.
Right.
There are none that are partnering with Child Nutrition Services at the state
incredible.
Level. It's
Here
amazing
we go.
Partnership.
Blazing the trail again in Alaska.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And so Joe Dawson and all the people down in Juneau who have that foresight and who see that, you know, the power of this partnership is amazing that they were able to kind of come together and pull that money together. So we're really thankful for that.
Absolutely. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. I did. I mean, it's from what I've seen, it's a really good partnership. You know, Joe Dawson and her crew down there, they do a great job. And you know, I'm thrilled to see where this goes, Jody. I'm excited to you know, see how it unfolds. I think you're going to do great.
Thank you, sir.
That answers my question, and I will talk to you all later. Thank you.
I've got you on the schedule in about a month, Director Keyes. So
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
And now we have to wrap it up. We have used up all of our time. Jody, thank you so much for coming and joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio. And again, if people have more questions about anything we talked about this morning, they can find Jody's contact information on the State Division of Agriculture website.
Absolutely.
I bet if they Google Jody Anderson at Division of Ag, they'll find you real easy.
Probably. Okay. They may find other things, too. I don't know.
All right. Next week, we're going to have Steve Seafelt to talk about the upcoming Sustainable Agriculture Conference that's coming up in March in Fairbanks. So looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you both for being here in the studio.